I'm Evan Kleiman, and this is Good Food. Let's head to Santa Monica to find out what farmers are bringing to market after a wet week in Southern California. Jillian Ferguson is there with this report.
This is Jillian Ferguson with the Market Report. I'm at the Santa Monica Market this morning with pastry chef Kathy Asipahu. Kathy's the co-owner of a Yaratai in Westchester, which her family has owned for 19 years. And she also has an impressive resume as a pastry chef. She worked at Providence and is currently in charge of the pastry menu at Ryla in Hermosa Beach. And on top of all of this, she's also just launched a limited run dessert tasting at a Yaratai that runs on Friday and Saturday nights through the end of the month. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jillian. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. You have been very busy.
Yes, I have. I think a lot of pastry chefs get very busy this time of year for Valentine's Day. All the lovers need their sweets.
So let's dive right into this dessert tasting. Give us a sneak peek of how many courses it is and what we can expect on the menu.
Right. So this dessert tasting, we have three courses along with some petit fours and an optional non-alcoholic or alcoholic drink pairing that's being prepared by my sister, Vanda. The courses are a savory dessert course, and then a palate cleanser, a final dessert that's a little bit richer, and then, of course, the petit fours, which are just little bites at the end that are accompanying tea or coffee.
So let's start with savory. What's that dish?
So for my savory dessert, we're calling the course nampawan. That means sweet fish sauce in Thai. In Thailand, we usually eat green mangoes or tart and astringent fruits with this sort of dip made from fish sauce. We caramelize it with shallots, chilies, some fermented shrimp paste. So it's a really funky kind of condiment that's really popular right now because it made an appearance on a popular Thai soap opera. So all of the TikTokers are into it right now. It's really amazing because it's just kind of a really rustic, stinky food. We don't have green mangoes right now. Obviously, they're out of season. Those come more in the summer. So we're pairing them with green apples. I have some really wonderful tart sundowner apples that taste really great with it.
Oh, that's cool. And then, so depending on the season, can you just switch up the fruit in that dessert?
Yeah, of course. You can do rhubarb as well. That's a really great pairing because it's a little bit astringent and sour. Anything that is just really tart and makes you kind of pucker goes really well with that condiment.
Wow. And would you keep the rhubarb raw or would you cook it first?
For me, if I were just eating it on my sofa, I would be eating it with raw rhubarb that I kind of zip the fibers out of. But if I were preparing it for someone, I would maybe lightly poach it.
And is the nampawan easy to make?
It is quite easy to make. You just saute a bunch of chopped shallots with fish sauce, palm sugar if you have it, white sugar if you don't, and some chilies, and you kind of just wait for it to get marmalade-y and reduce down, and then that's it. You can dip your fruits in it.
So it's spicy too.
It's a little spicy.
Wow. And what else? Tell us more about what you're shopping for at the market and how it might show up in the menu.
One of the courses that I'm really excited for is the palate cleanser that is being prepared with hawthorn berries or haw berries from Murray Farms. And these berries are very special to me because we grew up eating them a lot in a sort of candy called haw flakes that you can get at the Chinese supermarket. The haw flakes are a sort of candy made from haw berries, and they're punched out into the shape of coins and stacked into a cylinder. They're really popular around Lunar New Year's because they look like firecrackers the way they're packaged. So we're also celebrating Lunar New Year this month. So I'm having a little hawthorn berry sorbet that's shaped into a tube shape to emulate that cylinder firecracker shape.
So I'm looking at your cart right now, and there's this flat of bright red. They look like the size of blueberries, but they are bright red. Are those the hawthorn berries?
Those are the hawthorn berries. This variety of hawthorn berries that we have today are smaller. They're kind of blueberry sized, but the ones that we get from the Chinese supermarkets that are flown in from China are usually bigger. They're about 4 centimeters wide with a big pit in the middle.
And you mentioned you're going to do sorbet. Can you eat these raw or do you always have to cook them?
You could eat these raw. They're quite fibrous. And so simmering them or like cooking them down is a way to kind of ease up on that fiber.
Okay. Yeah. And the flavor?
The flavor is actually sort of like rhubarb, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so interesting. Kathy, thank you. I can't wait for this.
Thank you so much, Jillian. It was nice to talk to you.
That was Kathy Asipahu of A Yaratai in Westchester. You can find a direct link to her dessert tasting on A Yaratai's Instagram. Just click the link tree in the bio. Reservations are available every Friday and Saturday night for the rest of the month. Farmers are recovering from the epic rainstorm of the last week. I was both surprised and happy to see Christine Brown here today. She and her brother Nick bring down cherimoyas this time of year from their Oceanside property up in Carpinteria. Christine, it's wonderful to see you here.
Thank you. Great to see you.
So you survived the rain.
We did. Actually, the rain was not the biggest issue. It was mostly the wind.
Really?
Yeah, it will rip the trees, and when there's fruit still on it at the end of the storm, we're very happy.
Wow. Okay. Well, we've got a lot of fruit on the table today. These are cherimoyas. For the uninitiated, describe what we're looking at. What do they look like?
They look pretty wild. From a distance, we get artichoke, dragon eggs, which, of course, that's not a real thing, but in any case, it will certainly draw someone to the table wondering what it is. But it's got a light green color to it and what looks like scales or thumbprints all over the fruit. And sometimes it'll have little spikes as well.
They're pretty cool looking. I once heard a pastry chef describe the flavor as like juicy fruit gum, which to me is like the near perfect description. But you do have a few varieties with subtle flavor differences. Tell us what you've got.
We do. I'll start with our newest patented variety. It's called the Rincon variety, and we're Rincon Del Mar Ranch. So yeah, that one has more of a mango sweetness to it. And overall, it's going to be creamy, sweet, juicy, and tastes like a pineapple, banana, mango, vanilla, just all blended in. Another variety that my dad developed back in the late 60s is the Lisa variety, and that's not my name or anyone in our family. He just named it that because of the smooth texture in it, and that has more of a pineapple sweetness to it. A few others briefly, the Bays has a vanilla sweetness, Pino Tejete, and those are the main ones.
It's a green skin on the outside, but the interior is this white, creamy flesh with big, big seeds. How do we deal with it once we get it home and want to cut it open?
Yeah, so kitchen counter, let it ripen like a peach or an avocado. Once it's slightly soft but not squishy, you can chill it in the fridge for an hour or so, and then you slice it in half, scoop out the white flesh. It does have seeds scattered like a watermelon that are kind of like a black pistachio seed. You just spit those out.
What kind of work goes into growing cherimoyas? We don't see them often at the market.
It's a tremendous amount of work. So I will say from seed to a tree that's going to have the fruit producing, you're looking at least 5 years, first of all. It's a grafted tree. We plant that, wait 5 years, take care of it, and then in order to get the fruit that you see on the table, we are hand pollinating for months, morning, evening, for months. It's a huge amount of upfront investment, just crossing your fingers and hoping that you get something back and that the wind doesn't blow it off or the rain doesn't split it. So it's a lot of work, and that's part of why you don't see it.
Wow. So describe exactly what that hand pollinating process looks like.
Yeah. So if you can remember your little watercolor brushes in school, it's basically a tiny little paintbrush, and you take the pollen from a little canister where you've collected the pollen, and you basically go to every single flower at the peak moment and try and do what a honeybee would do. It just, this is native to South and Central America, so it doesn't quite work with the local insects and bugs that we have here.
Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
That was Christine Brown of Rincon Del Mar Ranch. She is bringing down cherimoyas every Wednesday from her farm up in Carpinteria. And yes, the family does ship them nationwide. And what could be better than a box full of cherimoyas showing up on your doorstep in the middle of winter? You can check out the mail order arm of the business at rincontropics.com. For the Market Report, I'm Jillian Ferguson.
If you missed any of today's show, listen at kcrw.com/goodfood or on KCRW's mobile app. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. My thanks to the Good Food team, Jillian Ferguson, Laryl Garcia, and Elena Shatkin, and to our engineers, Hope Brush and Nick Lamponi. And a special thanks to Laura Kondarajan and Gary Masiha. I'm Evan Kleiman. If ever there was a time to dip yourself in chocolate, the next week is it. Enjoy with abandon and no guilt, please. I'll meet you back here next week for another episode of Good Food.